Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tet. We're going to start four lines from the bottom. Amar Amemra. Amar Amemra Mishmei Derav Papa. Lo Lischof Inish Kafle Ila Basar Didav Tarba Ubala Bisra. Okay, what does this mean? If you remember, we talked about the chalev, the forbidden fats. So when you're piling up the meat, the assumption was the butcher piles up the meats one on top of the other. So now the chalev is one of the parts of the meat. But we're going to see, first of all, we'll see it's separated by a membrane. And then we're going to see, basically what they're saying is when you pile them up, don't put the chalev face down. Okay, that's the lo lischof inish kafli ilave basar. Don't put the netach, the piece, on top of the basar. Didav tarba, where the tarba is the chalev, where the chalev is going to... like melt sort of, and then drip down ubala bisra, and then the meat below it will kind of absorb it, right? As the chalev sits there, it'll sort of liquefy, and then if you put, the assumption is the chalev is at the top, so if you turn it upside down and put the chalev part at the bottom on top of the other piece of meat, the other piece of meat is going to absorb the forbidden fats, and it will become asur. So then they say, Ihachi, kitaritse nami, daiv tarbu, balabistra. They say, but then it makes no difference whether it's upside down, with the chalev side down or the chalev side up. Because if the chalev side is up, what will happen? So it's true, it won't go to the meat underneath it, but it'll liquefy and drip down into the meat into the piece of meat that it's part of. So no matter what, it's going to be a problem. So what do they answer? Karma mafsik mitatai. Okay, there's a membrane underneath it, and that's basically protecting it. So when you turn it upside down, it'll drip on the piece below. But if it's right side up, so there's a membrane in the meat, in between the forbidden fats and the meat, and therefore it won't. Then they say, but now the assumption is that the membrane surrounded the chalev. So then they say, Ihachi melai nami krama ika. And then also, when the top part of it, when it's on top of the meat on the piece below, then it also has this membrane to separate, and it shouldn't be a problem. So what do they say? No, because miftat. Okay, what they say is the membrane at the top is going to become severed somewhat when the butcher is dealing with the meat, and therefore it will, from the top of it, it will drip down onto the other piece of meat. So if you flip it upside down, the top part of the membrane will be either cracked or cut or something like that, open, the chalev will drip down. However, if it's sitting upright, there's still inside that one piece of meat, the membrane below it is still separating it from the piece of meat that it's part of. So therefore, only if you flip it upside down and the chalev part, the top of the chalev, is on top of the piece of meat below it, are we concerned about this? Okay, a little technical. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, from the technical, we're going to get something a little more interesting. First of all, I thought this was interesting because yesterday we had Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that a butcher always needs three types of knives, remember? So now it's interesting, he's saying, almost like the same, the butcher needs his knives, the Tamil Chacham needs his three things he needs to know. And what are they? Ktav, Shchita, Umila. Okay, ktav, it's really interesting. What do you assume when you mean ktav here? Sofer. It sounds like stam, right? You need to know how to write a sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, all that. Okay, and shchita is obvious. Shchita, you have to know the laws of shchita. And mila, you have to know how to do a brit mila. But the ktav, there's four different interpretations that I saw, really interesting. So one is sofer stam. Okay, one is that you have to know how to write. Not everybody knew how to write in those days. And if you're going to be a Talmid Chacham, you might become a Dayan. We'll need your signature. You need to know how to sign your name. If you recall in Gittin, there was this whole thing about rabbis who signed their names like a fish or they all had simanim. Not everybody necessarily knew how to write, possibly. And that's why maybe they sound like that. So maybe it just means you need to write. Some people say, it's going to be even more interesting, you need to know how to write like a psak din. Okay? You need to know how to write a whole, so even before we get to that one, let's start with this one. You need to know how to write a shtar, like what the nusach is. Not everybody knows the nusach of a shtar. So if you're a Talmid Chacham, you need to know what type, almost like a contract lawyer. It's almost like they need to be everything, okay? Then the last opinion I saw, which is really interesting, is that you need to know how to express yourself in writing. You need to be a good writer because you need to write shutim. You need to write answers to people, especially in those days. People sent their questions from abroad. So if you're not, we all know that if you read something that's not well written, it's hard to understand what you mean. So they had to learn how to write. So either, you know, there's a wide range, whether they had to be calligraphers, whether they had to be good, you know, have good writing skills, or whether they need to have, you know, contract law, right? All of a sudden we see something Chacham needs all these possible things. Obviously, there's only one interpretation to what this is, but there's a range of what it could be.
They also need to know how to write questions so that they get the answers that they're looking for.
Okay, right. So how to write your question in the proper way. Okay, all of these things. V'Rav Chananya bar Shlemya mishmei de Rav Amar af kesher shel tefillin. They have to know how to knot the tefillin, right? There's a special way they did to make it look like a shape of a dalet. U'berkat chatanim. You need to know the nusach. Some people say you need to know it by heart of the berchot chatanim, the Sheva berchot. V'tzitzit, and how to make tzitzit. So now, v'idach, what about the other opinion? Why didn't he think these things? Hane shrichan. So now there's a big debate about what hane shrichan means and which one it's referring to. Okay, so the first opinion that didn't say kesher chol tefillin, berkat chatanim, and tzitzit, some people say, why didn't he hold those things? Because, why didn't the first guy hold by what Rav Chananya bar Shlemya said? Why didn't Rav hold that way? Because, he said, those are commonplace, meaning you can easily find people to do them. The Talmid Chacham is to fill the role of things that regular people can't do. So it's easy enough to find people who can do those things. However, the Mila, the Stam, right? It's interesting. Nowadays, most Talmidei Chachamim don't know how to do a Brit Mila. They don't know how to do Sofer Stam and all that, so it's interesting. One is Hanish Shrichan. The other opinion is to say, no, it's not that the Kesher Shal Tefillin, Berkat Chachamim, and Tzitzit, and to find those people, there, it's easy. And Shrichan, right? Shrichan means it's Matzua, you can find it anywhere. It's the opposite. It's that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said about the first things, I only said those things because they're very commonplace. You often have to do them. Whereas Kesher Shal Tefillin, Berkat Chachamim, and Tzitzit don't happen so often. You think people get married all the time, but I guess in every community, how many people are getting married every day? So those things aren't so commonplace, and because they're not so commonplace, they don't happen all the time, right? One is referring to, is it easy for someone to do those things? If it's easy to find someone, that's the first answer. But the second answer is, these don't happen so frequently, so therefore the Talmid Chacham doesn't need to know them, because there might not be as many people that do it, but you can always find someone, and they don't happen that often, that it's fine. So, range of opinions about how to understand all these things. Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So going along these lines that a Talmid Chacham needs to know Shchita, now he talks about, Rav Yehuda passes down the name of Shmuel, another halacha seemingly related. Kol Tabach, now we're going to talk about butchers. So someone is doing Shchita, what are his requirements? Kol Tabach she'eino yodeh hilchot Shchita, asur le'echo mishchitato. One cannot eat from his Shchitas if he doesn't know the laws. Okay, meaning, even if, okay, we're going to see, okay, here, I'll go back to it in a minute. Okay, we'll get back to what exactly this means. But anyway, let's just see what are the hilchot shchita. So now we're going to get to the five psulim. Okay, ve'eluhen, hilchot shchita. Shihiya, that you can't wait in between the shechting of the two simanim. Drasa, remember you can't push it the knife in. You have to go back with a back and forth motion. You can't do it the way you chop a vegetable or something. Chalada, that you can't insert the knife and then push outward to cut the simanim. Hagrama, okay, this means that you cut the kanan, the veshet, in the wrong place. There's a certain area within it, and hagrama minashon lahatot, you kind of move the knife to the wrong place and slice there instead of in the place that you're supposed to slice it. V'ikur, okay, ikur, there's a bunch of different opinions about what exactly it means. Some people say it means you kind of disconnect the kanan, the veshet, before you cut them, where you kind of disconnect them from the animal. There's some people say it's that you cut it with the nick in the knife, where you're actually sort of strangling the animal instead of slaughtering it. Okay, we'll get to different opinions when we see the Mishnah on this in the next parak. Okay, so now they say, so basically, according to this, Rav Yehuda is saying in the name of Shmuel, you have to know these five halachas. So now the Gemara says, that's kind of silly for Rav Yehuda who said that in the name of Shmuel, because my kamash malan, kulu taninhu. What is he teaching us? All of these are listed in the Mishnah. As it says, these are the five laws. Obviously, this is obvious. So what do they say? Lo tzricha, what they mean is, sheshachat lefaneinu shnayim u'shlasha pa'amim, v'shachat shapir. We're talking about a guy who doesn't know hilchot shchita, and he slaughters already two times or three times, and he does a nice good shchita. Mau detema midiidach shachit shapir. Hai nami shachit shapir. Maybe we can say that since we know he did the other ones well, maybe we can assume that he knows how to do shchita. Kamash valan. Kevan de lo gamar. Zimnin deshai vidarius velo yada. We say, no, this comes to teach you that since he never learned, it could be he's going to make a mistake and mess up one of the things. Just because someone does good shchita one time doesn't mean the next time he might wait in between the two simanim. Right? In other words, he has to know that this is a problem. So if he doesn't know, then that's not good enough. So basically, according to Shmuel, we have to know that, you know, he has to know the laws of shchita. But right, so here we see that experience doesn't necessarily help you here. Because even if you have experience and you've done a few good ones, we still can't accept your future shchitas unless we know, unless you've learned the halachot. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hatabach tzarich sheyivdok b'simanim la'achar hashchita. Okay, another halacha about shchita is you have to check, after you shechted, you have to check that it was done properly. Okay, you have to look at the simanim, make sure everything is good. Amar Rav Yosef, af ana nami tanina, he says, we also learn this in a braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im shaha kidei bikur. When Rabbi Shimon's describing what the shear of shahia is that's going to be a problem, he says the shear of shahia that's going to create a problem with the shchita is if you waited kidei bikur, enough time to have checked. So now, what does he assume this braita means? That you have to check that the simanim were shechted properly, and therefore the amount of time here described is based on something that actually happens, which is checking. And it's what kind of checking? It must be checking that the simanim were properly severed. So there you have proof, he says, from a braita that you have to check the simanim. So my lav kidei bikur simanim, doesn't this mean bikur simanim, which would then prove what Shmuel just said? Amar le Abaye, lo, you don't have to necessarily mean bikur, doesn't necessarily mean checking the simanim. There's other types of bikur. Hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan, kidei bikur chacham. It means enough to have a chacham come and check the knife. Okay, so if you wait in the middle, the amount of time it takes for a chacham to come and check the knife, then it's a problem of shahia. So now they say, wait a minute, how do we measure the amount of time it takes for a chacham to come? It depends where the chacham lives, it depends where he's coming from, it depends, right? That, in ken, atatat v'recha l'shiurim. If the chacham is right there, so it'll take him a few seconds to check the knife. If the chacham's not in the room, we'll have to go find a chacham. We know, who knows how long that will take. So kidei bikur chacham can't possibly, doesn't make any sense. Ela kidei bikur tabach chacham. So they say what it means is, it means if the tabach was a chacham and he could check his knife, it would be as long as it takes him to check the knife. What it means is it's basically as long as, it's not to go get a person, it's as long as it takes a person who's standing right there to check the knife. Okay, that would be the amount. In which case, this source, this Tana'itic source about checking, has absolutely nothing to do with checking simanim, and therefore there's absolutely no proof that in the time of the Tana'im, there was a source that said you have to check the simanim. However, Shmuel says that you have to check the simanim to make sure they were severed properly. Now we're going to get to a question. Lo badak mai. What if he didn't check? So now what? Rabbi Elazar ben Antugonus Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yanai Amar. Sorry, Rabbi Eliezer ben Antugonus, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yanai Amar, Trefa Vasura Bachila. He says that this is a trefa, this animal, and as it's treated like a trefa. Okay, what's the difference between a trefa and a nevela? We're going to see this in a second. If you remember, we learned about nevela. Nevela is mitame. Okay, there's a tuma nevela. It says so in the Torah, that a nevela is mitame. But which means, number one, you can't eat it. Number two, if you come in contact with it, it's matame. Or things that come in contact with the nevela or it's become teme. Yeah.
Sorry, so nevela is any animal that died improperly.
Exactly. It's an animal that died, either was shechted improperly, like this case, okay? We're going to see. Some people call this a nevela, okay? Because it was shechted improperly. It died. Anything that happens to it that's not shchita, kosher shchita.
Anything that's not proper shchita.
Exactly. Unless it's a trefa, a kosher animal. Right, would you call a nevela? Right, so we said nevela, there is nevela of a non-kosher animal, but I think that that's not mitame. Only nevela tohora is mitame.
Dies of natural causes.
That's nevela. Okay. If you shechted properly an animal that turns out was a trefa that was going to, you know, it had the criteria of it was going to die within 12 months. It had some, you know, whatever considers an animal and exactly a trefa. Then it's just a surva achila, but it's not metame. So the question here is, if you didn't check the simanim, so you did a proper shlita, but you didn't check the simanim, are we going to call that a trefa or are we going to call it a nevela? And the relevant issue is it metame or not? Is it just aser b'achila? This is like a catchphrase for basically saying, because no one's saying it's a trefa, it was sick before, we have no idea. But it's a catchphrase for saying, is it just aser b'achila, which we call trefa, or is it also mitame, because we're going to call it a nevela. And we'll see what the b'achloket is based on in a minute. So he says, we're going to call this a trefa v'asura b'achila. Okay, everyone agrees that you can't eat this meat. If you didn't check the simanim, you can't eat the meat. B'matnita tana, but there's a braita that says, nevela umetama b'masa. Okay, it's a nevela and it's metame b'masa, means it's even metame b'masa. What's masa? Masa is, let's say I'm holding this, and on top of it is the meat. I'm carrying this item. On it is the meat. I don't even touch the meat, right? So that's metame b'masa, okay? That if it moves something, right? If it's it moves something, even if it's not actually touching it. B'may kamiflage. So what's the root of their machloket? Bidu Rav Huna. They argue within Rav Huna. Now, it's not that they both agree with Rav Huna. It's not sometimes when it says they're miflege bidis someone, it's someone holds like him and someone doesn't hold like him. No. They're both arguing within Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna say? Da'amar, behema bechayeha, behema when it's alive, bechezkat isur omedet, ad shiodea lach bamenish chita. So a behema, while it's alive, what do we call this? This behema is forbidden to be eaten. Because it's forbidden, because it's ever minachai, until you know how it was slaughtered. So if you don't know that this animal had a kosher slaughter, you can assume that it remains bechezkat isur. We've seen this, let's say, with eshet ish, right? Until you know otherwise, she was bechezkat eshet ish, we're going to assume she's an eshet ish until we know otherwise, that she got a divorce. But if she didn't, we're going to assume she's an eshet ish. People, when there's suffek about something, we're going to assume whatever status it was, it's going to continue. This is a bit strange because the status that it is Eber Menachai while it's still alive. When it dies, it turns into Nevela. It actually changes status somewhat. It's still the same Isser status is true. So, okay, so we're going to assume even though it kind of changes to something else, okay, maybe that's part of the debate here, how we view this, but at least the one who views it as a nevela thinks it's still the same chezkat isur. Before it was Eber Menachai, now it's nevela, but it's still coming from the same place. It has to be shechted properly. So if you know it's shechted properly, you can take it out of its chezkat isur. But if you don't know that it's shechted properly, then it maintains its status. Nishchita, but once it's nishchita, harehi b'chezkat ater, ad shiodea lach b'menitrefa. At this point, what if you don't know? What if no one ever checked, is the animal a trefa? Okay, this part isn't relevant for our issues, so I want to remember in your mind, this doesn't have to do, the first part is going to have to do with us. But here, if you kosher slaughter an animal, slaughter it properly, we're going to assume that everything's fine unless you have reason to believe the animal was a trefa. But if no one ever checked, was the animal a trefa, you don't have to worry, maybe the animal was a trefa. Okay? So we're going to assume chezkat eter of shchita unless you know b'mene trefa. So now going back to the first part. So when an animal is slaughtered, unless you know, right, that it was slaughtered properly, right, it's going to be the chazkat yisur until you know that the kosher shchita was done. So how are we going to view this? Mar savar b'chazkat, now I want to just point out before we go on, what kind of chazkat yisur did it have to begin with when it was Eber Menachai? What was it, aser? Aser b'achila. When it becomes a nevela, what do we say? It's aser b'achila and it's tame. So now, how are we going to view Rav Huna? Well, Rav Huna says if you have an animal that you're not sure if it was shechted properly, then it's bechezkat isur of what it was before.
Which would just be achila.
Which would just be achila. Or do we say no, since it's a continuum. Eber Menachai turns into nevela, and then it's nevela, and it's also metame. That's going to be the machloket. Okay, so Mar Savar b'chezkat isur kaima v'hash tametehi. So it stays with its chezkat isur. Now it's a dead animal, which is a nevela. Umar sabar becheskat yisur aminan becheskat tuma lo aminan. Right? It's becheskat yisur, but no one ever said it was becheskat tuma. When the animal's alive, it's not metame. So why should it? If the whole thing is we're keeping, and that's, we don't know, so we're keeping it becheskat yisur, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to say it's becheskat tuma. And therefore, there's a machloket: is it also metame nevela or not? Now we're going to go into the statement of Rav Huna Gufa. Am Rav Huna behema b'chayeha b'cheskat isur omed. We're just repeating what we read. Az shivada lecha b'me nishchita. Nishchita b'cheskat heter omed. Az shivada lecha b'me nitrefa. Now we're going to talk about the second part. The nishchita, it's b'cheskat heter until you know it was really a trefa. V'lema, shouldn't it say simply nishchita hutra? Shouldn't it just say shechting matirs the animal? Right, unless you know it's a trefa, but shechting makes the animal mutar. The wording becheskat heter doesn't seem to fit here. Becheskat heter we use when there's a suffix. There's no suffix about this animal. This animal was shechted properly. Maybe one would say, but maybe it's a trefa, but we don't have any reason to think it's a trefa. Right? We don't assume, we don't always assume the worst, right? It's rare that an animal's a trefa. So there's no suffix here. Cheskat heter or cheskat isur is when there's a suffix situation. There is no suffix here. So what are the answer? Okay, one possible answer, by the way, is there. It's just parallel lashon of the statement of Rav Huna. He said, behema b'chayeh b'chizkat isur omedet, and nishchita b'chizkat heter omedet. It's just a linguistic, a literary device. Once he talked in that lashon, he talked in this lashon. And it means the same thing. It's just using the word chizkat heter usually is when there's a suffix, and here there isn't. So what are the answer? Hakamashman, this comes to teach you, as the Gemara wants to come up with a suffix situation. Da'af agav de'ityali be'reuta, even if there's some sort of reason to think it was a trefa, we're still going to assume that the animal shechted, and all of a sudden we suspect that maybe the animal was a trefa. Then we still say, well, since it was shechted, it already was b'chezkat heter, and we're not going to let this new suffix that we just came up with, which we're going to talk about right now, what kind of situation could that be, we're not going to let that mess things up, because just like before we said it was b'chezkat yisur, it retains its status, here also it's b'chezkat heter, it retains its chazaka status of being mutar. And we're not going to let this suffix get in the way. What would be a suffix? Kidibai mine Rabbi Abba me Rav Huna. Like Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna a question. Okay, we have an animal shechted on the ground. Ba ze'ev, a ze'ev comes along, v'natal b'nei me'ayim, and he takes away the b'nei me'ayim. Mahu, what's the situation? So now they say, natal halineu. In other words, this doesn't make any sense, this question. If he took them away, in other words, what's the issue? If we have reason to suspect that there was some siman trefa in the b'nei me'ayim. But according to this case, if the ze'ev took away the b'nei me'ayim and we never even saw them, then there's obviously no suffix. So that can't be. Ela nakav b'nei me'ayim mahu. So now they say, if he made a hole in the b'nei me'ayim, the ze'ev stuck his teeth, dug him into the b'nei me'ayim, and now the b'nei me'ayim are in front of us with the teeth of the ze'ev bitten into them. So maybe you would say, maybe the animal's a trefa, because maybe there was a hole in the b'nei me'ayim before. They say, wait. Of course you can't. What a ridiculous assumption that would be. Hakachazinan dehu nakvinu. What do you mean? We saw that the ze'ev put his teeth into them. So we have no reason to think, and that's what's obvious here is, a hole in the b'nei me'ayim is a siman of a trefa. Okay? If there was a hole in the b'nei me'ayim, we think the animal is a trefa. So, if the ze'ev sticks his teeth into the b'nei me'ayim, into the, right, what are they, the innards, the intestines. If he bites the intestines and there's a hole now in the intestines after we did the shechita, we certainly have no reason to suspect because he bit into them. So now what are they going to say? Ela nitalan v'chziran kashem nikuvim mahu. If the ze'ev ran off with the intestines and then he brings them back and now we see a hole in them. Mi chayshinan shema bimkom nekev nakav. In other words, we know that he stuck his teeth into there. But what we don't know is, maybe there was already a hole in there to begin with, and he stuck his teeth into where there was already a hole and just made it bigger. So that would be the chashash, and that's where we say, it's b'chezkat heter, and you don't have to worry about that. So now, Right? And Amarle, Ein Choshashim Shema Bimkom Yekev Nakav. And that, and then when this was all to bring this question, Rabbi Abba asked Rav Huna, and Rav Huna answered him based on what Rav Huna said previously, which is, Ein Choshashim, we're not worried that maybe he bit into it already, a hole that was already there. Now we're going to have a whole discussion about this concept. But he basically says, we're not worried someone's going to bite in. We're not choshesh for that possibility that someone bit into something that was already there. They say, but when it comes to other halachot, we are concerned for this. Etive, here's a source that contradicts. Ra'at sipur ha-minaker b'te'ena. You see a bird pecking at a fig, pecking a hole in it. Ba'achbar ha-minaker b'avatichim. And you see a mouse eating through a watermelon. Now, generally, if you see a hole in a fruit or a vegetable or something like that, you have to worry that maybe it was a snake and the snake put his poisonous venom in it and you can't eat it because you might die from it. It's dangerous. So if you see a hole, you can't. Now, what if you see a bird pecking through or this achbar eating through? Choshishim shema bimkom nekev nakav. You should be concerned that maybe the nachash was already there and they're just pecking through a hole that already existed. And therefore, you have to be choshesh and sakanat nefasha, you can't eat it. So now they say, there we are choshashim, shema b'mkom nekev nakav. And in our case, we're not choshashim. Why is that? This is the exact same situation. Okay, obviously one is safek nefashot and one is not, and that's what the Gemara is going to answer. So he says, Amar lei, mika medami, disur la sakanta. You're comparing something, is it forbidden, to something, is it dangerous? And when it's dangerous, we're going to be much more machmir. Sakana shane. Right? So he says, no, sakana is different. So now, we have this assumption right now, that when it comes to sakanat nefashot, we're going to be much more concerned for this chashash. When it comes to kashrut, we're not going to worry about it. So Amar le Rava, Maishna safek sakanta, La lechumra, safek isura nami lechumra. He says, I don't understand this distinction. Safek sakana, we're going to go lechumra. Why are we going to go lechumra? Because we're worried about your nefesha. Fine, that I get. According to that logic, though, that we're just being machmir here, so safek isura, we should also be machmir. We always say, safek isur de oraita lechumra, right? Only de rabbanan we go lekula. But if it's a safek isur, and you're worried that maybe the animal was a trefa, right? You have this case where it got taken away, the b'nei me'ayim, they come back with a hole. We don't know. Maybe there was a hole. We should go safek d'oraita l'chumra. So why are you distinguishing between, I understand logically maybe safek nefashot is worse, but halachically speaking, if we're saying that's a chumra, we should be machmir also on safek isura. So now Abaye is going to question Rava's assumption. Okay, we're going to have a lot of questions on questions. Amar le Abaye v'lo shani ben isura l'sakanta. Why, we don't distinguish between Isser and Sakana? And he's going to now show a case where we're more machmir on Sakana rather than Isur. Okay? We're going to say, right, what was the whole thing? The answer he gave Rav Huna to why he said this was because Sakana is on a, right, we're much more concerned for that than Isser. Rav said these two things should be equal because Safik Sakana Lechumra and Safik Isser Lechumra. So they should be on the same level. So comes Abaye, he's going to say, no. I'm going to show you a case where they're on a different level. Where so? So Amar Abaye v'lo shani ben isur l'sakanta. What, there is no distinction? There is a distinction. We are more machmir by sakana. How so? V'ha'ilu safek tuma b'rishut harabim spekot tahor. You remember we've learned this many times? If you have safek tuma, you walk through a field and you're not sure was there tuma there or not. So if it's b'rishut harabim, spekot tahor. Only b'rishut ha'yachid. If you remember b'rishut ha'yachid, we're going to say spekot is tameh. Who remembers why? Because we learn it out from the sota. And a sota is only safek nitmet. We only call her a sota if she did it beseter, right? If she did it behind closed doors. If there's a safek about, there's no safek about a sota in public, right? Unless everybody saw her, then there's no safek. Sota is only a safek situation if it's in private. And from there, they learn that safek tuma bereshit harabim sveko tahor, and bereshit hayachid sveko tameh. So here we have a safek tuma d'oraita, right? Bereshit harabim. And what do we say? Sveko tahor. And how does that compare to sakanta? So there's isur, and we go lakula. And safek mayim megulin asurim. If you're not sure if the water was left uncovered, and I remember this whole thing about the water being left uncovered at night, we're worried that a snake came in and put its venom in. If you're not sure it was uncovered at nighttime, then what do we, overnight, then what do we say? It's usur to drink the water. Okay? So there we go, safek lechumra. And with tuma, which is isur, we go safek lekula. So comes Abai and he says, you can't assume just because we go safek sakanta lechumra, we're also going to go safek isur lechumra. So now Rava rejects Abai's question and says, the whole issue of safek tumra brushita rabim spekot tahur is not because of some logical argument we're going to go lekula. It's because amar lehatam hilchata gemira lami sota. Because that's just because the whole halacha was learned out from sota, and it was learned out in the particular details of sota. But it wouldn't teach us about any other safek situation. It's very unique to that situation because we have a special limud from the Torah about, right, it's learned out from sota. Ma sota berushita yachid, af tum'a berushita yachid. It's only going to be tamei berushita yachid and not berushita harabim. Remember, it's only suffix. But anyway, he says, you can't get rid of that because that's a totally different situation. Okay, another question. Matif Rav Shimi, Sheretz, one second. Rav Shimi is going to be a question on Rava now. Okay, so Rava tried to say, right, why are you making this distinction? Sakana and Isser should be the same. So now Rav Shimi is going to ask a question on it. Sheretz befi chulda, if there's a sheretz in the mouth of a chulda, okay, a chulda is considered like a dangerous rat. Right, what do they call it? Right. I read this whole thing. There's a debate whether it's a type of rat, whether it's a weasel. The Koran has a really good footnote on it and trying to actually determine what this is. And they finally conclude that it depends. The usage of the word changes in different places because otherwise it doesn't really make any sense what kind of creature this exactly is. Okay, so maybe it's a more general term that could include a bunch of species under it. Sheretz befi chulda. So there's a sheretz in the mouth of the chulda. V'chulda mahalechet al gabei kikarot shel truma. Okay, so the chulda is walking on top of these kikarot of truma. Safek naga, safek lo naga. The question is, did the sheretz touch the bread or not? Okay, and the chulda is walking. The chulda is not a problem, right? The chulda is alive. It's not metame. Chulda is walking with a sheretz in its mouth, and we don't know whether it touched the kikarot of truma or not, the loaves of bread. Sfeko tahor. What do you see here? Since it's safek, we're metaher. So what does Rava say? Here you have it. Safek isur goes lekula. V'ilu safek mayim megulin asurim. Right? But again, we go back to safek isur, whether the mayim was whether it was open or not overnight, we don't know. And there we're going to forbid. So they say, that's also not a question. We can answer the exact same thing. Hatam nami hilchata gemira lami sota. Right. In general, these dinei tumah v'tara of safek we learn from a sota. And what detail of a sota here? Mas sota davar sheyesh badat lishael. What's the story with a sota? In theory, we can ask the woman and she'd be able to tell us, right? Whether she's lying or not, it's all a different story. But there's someone who we can ask about the details. Af hachanami davar sheyesh badat lishael. Also here, it has to be something in order for it to be speko tamei. It has to be where there's potential to ask. Now here's a debate, interesting debate, whether it's the chulda that we need to ask, in other words, right? Is it the person who is metame, you know, or the object that was metame, or is it the kikar that we need to ask, the thing that became tame? And therefore, is it, you know, are we saying the kikar, we can't ask the kikar, did the sheretz come in contact with it or not? So I just want to double check that those are the two, and it's not the sheretz. I assume it's not the sheretz. Right, the chulda ein badat lishael, or right, the chulda or the kikarot. Okay, fine. So again, we learn that from sota, and therefore it's an exception to the rule. Okay. I'm Rav Ashi. So now comes Rav Ashi, and he says, Tashma, let's learn from here. Okay, he wants to, Rav Ashi wants to prove, like Rav Huna, that we have more reason to be machmir by, right? In other words, Rava kept trying to say they're equal, and now he wants to prove, no, they're not. Like Rav Huna said, safek isur, we're going to go lekula. That, again, where do we start with? This case about you shechted it, and then later you found these b'nei me'ayim with a hole. Do we have to worry that the hole got, right, we have the ze'ev with his teeth in the hole. Do we have to worry that he was going into a hole that was already existing from before and that really there was a trefa? And he said, we don't have to worry about it. We're mekel there, even though we be machmir in a safek sakana situation. So comes Rav Ashi and he brings a braita. Tsluchit, that's like a flask. Shehinicha migula, you left it open. Uba umitza'a mechusa, and then you found it covered. What's the concern? That somebody came and covered it, and maybe that person was tamei. Okay, there's a 50-50 chance. If a person comes, he's either tamei or he's tahor. 50-50. Since it's 50-50, tamei'a. Shani omer, adam tamei nechnas l'sham v'kisa. Okay? Hinicha mechusa, what if you left it covered? Uba umitza'a megula, and then you find it uncovered. Im yechola chulda lishtot mimena, o nachash, l'divrei Rabban Gamliel, if either a chulda could drink from it, or a nachash, that there's a concern according to, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, the flask is filled with mechatat for the paradum, right? The paraduma waters, okay? I forgot a very important detail. We're talking here about the mechatat, and the whole question is, are we going to passel these mechatat and say that maybe there's some other liquid in there, there's something else? So if it was covered and then became uncovered, I'm sorry, if it was uncovered, it became covered, we're worried a person came in contact with it, was metameit. Remember how careful they were in general with the paraduma, with the tumah. If it was covered and then it becomes uncovered, so if a holder could have drunk from it, or right, in other words, what's the, if it's a place where there were holdot went running around and it's possible that a holder went in and uncovered it, or a nachash, it says in Masechet Parah that if a nachash drink, according to Rabban Gamliel, he holds that if a nachat drinks from the mechatat, he passes it. In other words, the issue with the chulda and a nachash is that their drinking from the mechatat would passel it. Okay, there's an assumption, there's a debate about what passels it. Some people say because their saliva gets into it. That seemed to me the most likely, that when you, right, anyone who drinks from something, usually their saliva gets into it. So there's a concern that their saliva got into it. And then it would passel the mechatat because it has other things in there besides that. There's a whole bunch of different opinions about what exactly is metame, but let's stick with the saliva. So now, what do we say? So if that's the case, if one of those could get in, o she'ara batal balayla, or tal could have gotten in, and now if dew rains into it, then it also passes it, because it has to be mechatat, it can't be from the dew. And therefore, that would also passel it. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, matam, mipnei, psula. Okay, so all these things are going to disqualify. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, matam, what's the reason? Mipnei shedarkan shel shratzim legalot ve'ein darkan lechasot. Okay, if we're worried specifically only about the animals coming to uncover it, not to cover it, right? Like an animal wouldn't likely come and cover something that was uncovered. They more likely uncover something that was covered. Inami, okay, there's a debate whether to read this or not, but I'll read it. Inami, tama dihinicha megula. Or you could say the reason is that it was left uncovered, and that's in the first case, what happened? It was left uncovered, ubao mitza'a mechusa, or mechusa, ubao mitza'a megula, ha mitza'a kema shehinicha lo. Lo tumi ika velo psula ika. What can you infer from here? Only if it was uncovered and then possibly someone covered it. Then we're worried it was either an Adam, 50-50 chance, he was tummy. Or it was covered and now it's uncovered. What's the chance? Either a person moved it, could it be betameit, or a chulda or a snake, and they could have put their venom in it, or a tal could have gotten into it, not their venom, or saliva, and then the saliva would mess it up. But what does it infer otherwise? If it seems to infer that what case is it mentioned here? If it was just left in the exact state it was before, which means if it was uncovered, we're not worried that something got into it. What do you see here? That compares to ilusefek mayim megulin asurim shmamina. We're worried about a snake putting his venom in it, but we're not worried, right? If you want to drink water, you can't drink water. But when it comes to the mechatat, if you leave it open, nobody seems worried that maybe a snake came in and put his saliva in there, or it messed up the mechatat. We're not worried about that. Or he could have put his venom in there, it also would have messed up the mechatat. But only when it comes to sakana are we worried about that. This is a really good proof, because it's the same exact situation. Water was left uncovered. In the case of sakana, we're going to be choshesh. In the case of tum and tara, we're not. And there you have your proof that we're going to distinguish between those two cases, and that goes back to Rav Punu, who said in the Safek case of the Treifa, we're not worried as long as it was Shechtik Karaoi, and we got to that all because he said, because In his words, he said, "Bechezkat heter omedet." Right? If I had given my answer, it would have just ended there. Right? The bechezkat heter just means mutar. Right? That the shechita is matir. It's just he used the lashon to match. But instead, the Gemara didn't understand it that way. They said, no, bechezkat heter, there must be a suffix. They created a suffix situation, and then they had to say, well, is it really, right, the suffix situation, is that really true? We have another suffix situation like that where we are worried in the Sakana case. And then we had a debate. Do we treat Sakana the same as Isur? Only Rava seemed to say so, but everybody else seemed to disagree with him.